Hey folks, welcome to the show. Another interesting Friday afternoon. Hey Sharad, how's it going, man?
Doing very well. As I always say, I'm looking forward to today's chat. It's a strength to look at businesses which have some underwriting element or some loan element to the business.
Yeah. I think traditionally we looked at a lot of such companies and lately we have been focusing on several sub-segments within that. We have with us Prashant Bhosle, CEO and founder of Kuhu, an education finance platform. This is our second education finance platform in the last, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks. I think last time we spoke was with Propelled. Interestingly, I think Westbridge Capital is on the cap table of Kuhu. It's also on the cap table of Propelled. So there are some commonalities there as well. Prashant, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, both of you, Nikhil and Sharad. Glad to be here. I've heard exciting things about what you guys have been doing in this space. And very interestingly, it's very refreshing to know that there's somebody who's talking directly to the founders, not the celebrated ones, but also people who are very, very below the radar. And it's interesting to share. Let us know what's there on the other side of the table. And so thank you very much for having me. Very excited. Let's go.
No, the pleasure is all ours. So Prashant, before we kind of hit record, we were anyways, I think, in the middle of knowing you a bit more. And I usually have a set script. I kind of, you know, go through the LinkedIn profile of our guests. And in that, obviously, I kind of saw that, you know, I saw that there was definitely a strong educational finance or education lending pedigree here. You were part of several major institutions. You were part of SDFC Credula. You were country head for 7 years. You were part of Incred. You were heading their student loans business. But then in the beginning of the conversation, you shared a lot, which is, I don't think, even visible on your profile. The fact that you have had exposure to pharma, to telecom, to FMCG sectors. So it's very fascinating to meet you today. Obviously, Kuhu started in 2021. You're based out of Mumbai. And what our largest takeaway from our conversation was Propelled was that education lending is a universe of its own. And obviously, you have the K-12 segment, you have the after-school segment, you have the higher education segment, and then you have the higher education abroad segment. And within that, I think Propelled was kind of more focused on the after school and the higher education domestic tier 2, tier 3 type of a cohort. And probably you are focused on the higher education abroad or overseas segment. At least that was our initial understanding. We always try to put the business in a bucket. So with that in place, I would love you to share with us in the broader value chain. How does Kuhu fit in? And also a bit of color on the base business model, because when it comes to fintech and lending, you have guys who are doing qualified leads, who kind of, you know, work as a tech-enabled DSA. You have guys who are underwriting from their own books. You have guys who are doing both. Everyone claims to be one or the other. Unless you go and look into the fine print. So now that we have with you, would love to also understand Kuhu from that lens.
We'll be happy to share what I know or what I've known for the last 15 years in this industry. We were as lucky to be part of the founding team of India's first student loan company called Credula. We spoke about it and three of us got together and started building and writing on the issue. I remember the first business plan of who was written on a tissue paper of a hotel. So from there to scaling that business and becoming. So we Credula, after Credula, and I'll tell you more about Credula and what we learned there. But after Credula, I did a small tech stint also as part of a platform as a service company and very innovative, and this company is still there, so for about 2.5 years called Looker. But after that, for 5 years, I spent with Incred, and besides others, some of the other businesses as handling the major mandate was to create from scratch the student loan SBU, which is now, I think if I'm not wrong, coming to about 2,000 crores of portfolio. It's an amazing list number. So I think that's what, as part of Kuhu, before getting into the Kuhu and your specific question, what is the approach and business model? And let me take a step back for 30 seconds and tell you how I see this market and why that then it will tell you more about why we have decided what we've decided and what we're trying to do. This market, as per my understanding for the last about 15 odd years that I've been focused completely on it, is a very under-penetrated market, one of the least penetrated markets and across asset classes in India. How do I see the market in segments is there is a large segment of Indian students going abroad, and that's kind of exploded in the last 2 years. The numbers I remember in 2007 were about 250,000 students going abroad every year. To now, we will hit about 1 million students going abroad in 15 years. So it's almost grown by 4 or 5 times. At that time, I think the Indian students were spending less than about $5-6 billion. They'll be spending about $25-30 billion a year to acquire their foreign degree. So that's one market. The penetration there used to be less than 10% with the advent and growth of Predla, Avans, Oxalo, some Incred, these players. I think that market is now penetration, if I would, I can hazard a guess, is about 30-35%. They're still very under-penetrated. And these are, I'm juxtaposing the RBI numbers as reported, how many student loans happens and so on and so forth. And, and from that perspective, I think the penetration numbers, if you compare it with the overall growth and the spends in this segment is about 25-30%. The second segment is Indian students studying in India. And these are very large sub-segments there. So largest segment is Indian students studying in engineering college. 1 million to 1.5 million engineers study every year and they pass out every year. So in total, about 4 to 5 million engineers are studying as we speak in engineering colleges in India, right? So that's a large, the sheer number and the base actually, while the ticket sizes are relatively much smaller than the students going abroad, the sheer number multiplied by the fees and the living expenses makes it about $30-50 million market. So that is second segment, very under-penetrated. I'll come to each segment separately and which will tell you why we are doing what we are doing and what are the problems we see, what are the pain points for different stakeholders and stuff like that. Third segment is Indian students doing upskilling, higher education, all of those things, right? So hybrid courses to online courses to contact classes, courses and all that, but shorter tenure, executive education, coaching classes, So in fact, coaching classes is very fascinating actually. Coaching classes already, as per a CLSA report, is already about a $9 billion spend and segregated and scattered geography, mom and shop kind of, other than the top few, you can count on fingers, players like big players who have kind of aggregated a little bit and organized the market, but very long tail business there for both edtech as well as coaching classes and executive education. So that's the third major broad segment. Within them, there are segments, sub-segments and stuff like that. But that market is base is very small, growing exponentially, but very, very small base. So these are the segments. In Credila, by design, we had gone after when we were building it and I was designing as writing the products and processes and building systems and all that. we decided to go after niche within niche within niche. Right. What do I mean by that? A niche of education loans at that time, which was a very, very protected niche. And it was a niche which was fraught with a lot of NPS. And that still is. The numbers at that time, I remember correctly, $3 billion of outstanding student loans in 2007 in India, live outstanding student loans given by different banks at different points of time. The NPAs were about 9 to 10%. The NPAs have not changed, but the market has grown from $3 billion to about $13, $14 billion of outstanding loans. So some things have not changed, and that also explains at a very high level why there are specialized players who are getting in and becoming more successful where banks are not able to do it. But that's so niche within niche, education loan as a niche, Indian students going abroad as a niche because less OPEX business, slightly higher quality of profile of students, lateralized loans, so on and so forth. Within Indian students going abroad, the highest cream de la cream of Indian students going abroad, which was US. Within US, we went after MSN.
Okay.
So this is what we were very laser focused when we started because we said, every market is underpenetrated. Every market is not performing. Nobody seems to be getting loan in 2007. Few percent, I think approval ratios were less than 5%. So 100 people would apply, less than 5 would get it. So you had the opportunity to cherry pick, decide which market you will go after and so on and so forth. And we decided that.
So this market, is it fair to say like in this market, the borrower is the student himself or
herself, as compared to
others, because parents might be the borrowers, right, for coaching classes or undergrad courses. So is that a tilt as well in terms of this segment?
So yes and no, Sharad. If you talk about lenders, different lenders. So for banks, to a large extent, they evaluate parents' net worth, income, or collaterals. All that. So for them, by that definition, parents are still the borrowers. It used to be for us also, initially when we had started doing this and we were the first ones as private players. So so we had to give more weightage to the borrowers, to the parents than the students. However, this market, the true blue-blooded student loan players in the developed markets also, the real purpose of this product is to be able to evaluate the potential of the student.
Correct.
Exactly.
And put a number on it, right? That is the secret sauce. And that is driven by your understanding of education as a segment rather than the finance as a domain, right? And that is lacking in most of the existing incumbents. So that is what we leveraged on. What we started doing was we started understanding how education works, which are the courses which gets job, what are the sectoral employability trends and projections and so on and so forth. We started putting the data in place, structured it, decided doing weightages on if somebody is coming from, let's say, Trichy Engineering College, done mechanical engineer, let's say 8.2 CGPA, there are five or six finite options that he or she will have, either will do postgrad in India, will start doing job, will do postgrad abroad, will do some own business, join own business or startup or something other, very finite. Our success would depend on our ability to put and accurately predict outcomes of each one of these choices, right? And that's what we started doing by collecting data, doing research and understanding pain points and so on. Doing research on the existing portfolios, why loans were going bad, why the NPAs were higher and so on and so forth. So coming back to your specific question, yes, for a lot of players, still the existing borrower, the weightage is more on the parents and less on because of the lack of knowledge on domain of education. I would not know. You look, I remember, just to give you a number perspective, in 2007, when we started this business doing for the first time, there were about 550, 60 universities and there were about 11,700 odd colleges at that point of time, 2007. As we speak today, we are almost in India about 1,000 universities, almost doubled,
mm-hmm.
and about 50,000 colleges. Mm-hmm. So the supply on college, because of deemed universities and so on. So the challenge for lender is the new colleges are coming every day. Within every college, new courses are coming every day. How do I know the college courses are accredited course, whether they'll get a job or not, how much of job, if they do get a job, how much money they will get, so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was that problem to solve. So mm-hmm. that's what, so still, so as a, so just bringing in and for selfish interest, this is what made us successful there. And this is what I'm trying to build here. That by design, we had built an analog company using the data inside domain expertise. I'm building the tech first, mobile first, data science first company. So by credit models, analytics, and so on and so forth, turning that into a less people intensive, more model intensive, less, more tech intensive kind of model is very, very different than what we're building.
And like you had mentioned that, like there you had, you know, kind of drilled down to very specific segments, right? Like Indian students going abroad, in abroad, US, in US, X, I think MS. You mentioned MS, right? So
in, MS and MS STEM.
Yes, MS and MS STEM. So in the Kuhu paradigm, what are the segments?
Right. So by design, the competitive landscape is in the full spectrum. There are players who are now more or less specialized in one segment, which is Indian students going abroad and starting the HDFC Credit Law. And there are other players who followed exactly the same model, like, because it became successful and, right. and like any other segment, people started hopping on, seeing the opportunity, setting up, taking notice, and they started Savans and all. So more or less similar models. So they specialized there. There was under-penetration continued and everybody got business and high quality of business, right? So they still focus there. On this end of the spectrum, the last about 5-7 years, EdTech business started booming. And because of that, that online hybrid courses started and that started the financing of those students. Yeah. So that segment is there. So there are players who are focusing there in the competitive landscape. They don't do this. These guys don't do this. Very, very different. This is more akin to personal loan kind of asset. And this is more a pure education and all that. In between, there continues to be a very large white space where the perceived NPA, perceived risk are much higher because the numbers of NPA are much higher in Indian students studying in India. Because it's very, very large and the quality is very different of education. It's concentrated in top 5, 7, 10% of institute and 90% is a long tail where it's very difficult to assess the quality of pedagogy, education, job potential, and so on. So that continues to be a very large white space and very few players are, other than PSU banks, nobody is there.
Mm. So, it probably even helps when you're looking at overseas students that the revenue potential comes in a different currency versus where the liability is sitting, right? I mean, there is an FX advantage as well, I guess, for underwriting folks who are looking for jobs in, let's say, in America. That probably has a very significant impact on the repayment profile, right?
That used to be the strongest pillar of underwriting, the quality of students, quality of cobora, quality of collateral, so on and so forth. But the strongest comfort factor was for a $50,000 loan for, let's say, 10 years, if you get a $100,000 job per year, it's a no-brainer. And that also shows in the portfolios when you were giving door-to-door tenor of 10, 12 years, normally the student will close the loan in 4.5-5 years after passing out 3 years. So, so that shows that your income was higher. However, that seems to be now changing because of geopolitical situation, economy, macro and all that. The jobs are not as easily available abroad. That used to be that euphoria seems to be dying down and there are inflation pressures, geopolitics pressure. We'll come to that, but yes, that was a big comfort.
And just one more thing, following up on that, you know, typically getting student financing abroad is a lower cost of debt endeavor for a student, right? I mean, interest rates are lower. Do you often, do students typically also go and try to refinance their existing loan from a local bank there? Is that not something that you see that much?
No, not happen. It doesn't happen. And there are specific reasons for that. The banks there perceive the risk, home country migration as a risk there.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they refinance, somebody goes back to the country, it's very difficult to enforce collection.
Right.
Sure. So that continues to be an issue, and which is a real issue. And
sure.
Meaning earlier and for now also, the perception of risk for Indian lenders for students going abroad is also that.
Yeah.
That if they go there and settle, how will I collect the money? Yeah. So similar thing happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not that prevalent. A few percentage of people will get it. But coming back to how we are looking, what we are doing differently in this C segment is, so I was telling you there are specific players who are specializing in these segments. However, because of our domain expertise and the kind of teams that I've built and the and we've practically have seen now close to $2 billion of student loan that that I have experience with and the team has experience with, we decided to become genuine student loan player. So the overarching vision is, other than tech, mobile, and that's the facilitation and enablement part, but on the business strategy part, I genuinely want to be the first port of call, to be the first port of call for loan middle class and middle class Indian students, which means what? Anybody, any Indian middle class or low middle class family thinking about education, and obviously they'll have to think about finance, where the money will come from, because access to education is one problem, quality of education. Third problem is where the equity is going to come from, right?
Yeah.
So that piece is where we come in. I want every middle class or low middle class Indian family, the first port of call to be Kuhu, because when I go to Kuhu as an Indian family, I will get something. So I'm addressing this, I'm addressing this, and I'm addressing this, which nobody else
is. So your focus is more on the student and the employability potential and the, you know, professional
wherever they
prospects
are
way more than the collateral base of the family or the net worth of the family, right? But when you say wherever they are going, it doesn't matter to you if they are going to a tier one college domestically or they are going abroad. Is you are agnostic to that possibility?
Agnostic, and also look, the scale is not. So other strategic reason of but not going after only the premium colleges, right?
Okay.
Because over the period of time, we will do premium colleges, but my understanding of the market dynamics, the way it has evolved over the period of time, that premium colleges, top 200, 300, 400, 500 colleges abroad, out of the 15, 20,000 colleges abroad, where at least 5,000 colleges that Indian students go to, the large funding, about 90% of funding is happening to top 200, 300 for US world ranking and FT ranking and so on and so forth, right? That has become fairly competitive now.
Right.
And in fact, not fairly, let me recorrect. It's fiercely competitive.
Right. Right.
So
right.
The margins have compressed for a new player in NBFC.
Yeah.
So we actually made all new and old NBFCs which have been successful in this business have made this business banks business also.
Mm-hmm.
So banks have now lending more freely than they were, especially the private banks. SBI, Bob on this side, and some others now joined the bandwagon on the PSU side. But ICICI, Axis, HDFC is a part of this thing, and now they'll not be. But Yes Bank, all of these guys have started now lending at least to the top cream.
Yeah.
Layer of universities and students. So it's become, the margin compression has happened. So just to give you a perspective, in 2007 to 2012, 2013, 2014, we used to lend to IIT Bombay 9.7 CGPA guy going to Carnegie Mellon for MS Computer Science, one of the best courses in the world, right? We used to give at 15, 16%, 2% of fees, 20 lakh rupees of loan and 2 crores of collateral.
Mm.
That loans now get traded at 8, 9% max, 10% and unsecured.
Right. Yeah.
So that margin compression has happened. So the large market, the white space, as if you will, is genuinely in the segments which are B+ to C category colleges, large number, where large number of students are there.
Mm.
And they are not necessarily bad students. They not necessarily will not get job because my understanding of India is not unemployment is not a problem. Underemployment is a problem. If you can create a good product, then you can. And this is exactly what we had done earlier in other segments, which got successful and all that. So we are present in all segments. We run successful verticals in all segments. So this is what Koo is doing and how we are different. A, we are different. We are a fully digital, first fully digital analytics driven. We have our Koo credit score, which is proprietary. We build a lot of tech inside. We have about 125 people right now, out of which about 50 people are in tech and product, which is very unlike any financial services. My competitors will not have this ratio anymore, right? So that's where we are trying to put the money where the mouth is.
Interesting. I mean, like when the thing about when you look at like tier one or creme de la creme type of institutions is you piggyback a lot on them, right? In terms of the brand and there's in terms of the brand equity, in terms of the certainty of professional trajectory of the student, right? Plus, if you slap a collateral on top of that, obviously that's an additional risk cover that you get. Now you are kind of going in a different spectrum, right? Effectively, in terms of if you're looking at tier two, tier three institutions, right? Now the onus is a lot more, I guess, on the individual borrower then to kind of demonstrate if they are quote unquote worthy enough to be underwritten. How do you assess that? In the sense that like the data play is there's obviously traditional data which is available to everyone, not just to you, right? To all your competitors as well. But there must be some sort of an alternate data layer that you're putting on top. There must be some sort of subjective data layer also that you must be putting on top. Could you give us a bit of a walkthrough of...
I can. But before that, I want to also answer one more thing, which is I will take you what our approach to risk. And it's a fairly simple approach, more granular. Though more granular, but very simple approach. And how are we trying to solve that problem? We will tell you. But before that, look, you said one thing about students, whether the individual is the onus is on the individual to prove. No, I think the onus is on the lender to find out.
Exactly. That's the
fundamental difference in approach, actually. I think there is no bad customer in lending. Whatever I've learned in lending in more than, I think now close to 20 years experience, I think anybody who says that he is a bad customer, he's a good customer is not the right definition. You don't have a product for that customer is the right definition, right? So customers are not good or bad. You need to understand their risk. You need to put a right risk premium. You need to underwrite them well. And you need to give them the right product structure so that they don't get over leveraged. They are able to repay. Ability is taken care of, so on so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I wanted to put to rest first. Coming back, what's our, how do we solve this problem? So I'm not saying we don't do premium. Mm-hmm. We do it premium because that's an organic demand which comes to us. So why it comes to us is very interesting. A lot of people who apply to us, when I ask them, you are perfectly eligible for a very good 9-10% loan from a bank. Why don't you go there? He said, I love your process. I can do
it's easy, seamless.
The comfort of my home, my hostel, my everything. It takes few minutes for me to upload the documents, to get the eligibility, which takes me a few days to a few weeks there by going five times, right?
Mm-hmm.
That so some people from that segment will continue to buy us at a higher premium for paying for convenience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that will happen. But I'm not putting my everything there. We'll continue to address that market for need to be present basis because, as you rightly said, marquee customers gives you brand, good tracks, so on so.
Yeah.
We'll continue to. In fact, right now, because of that opportunity demand and under-penetration, our large portfolio is there, actually.
Yeah.
Whatever small portfolio, we have good concentration. But the other middle layer, how do we solve? Exactly how we solved the premium layer, where the data was not non-existent earlier, right? Now the data is there because of the track record of all these companies. But earlier, there were no data.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to build it grounds up by doing a lot of legwork is exactly what we're doing. So how do we do it? Quality of students is the first parameter. If you want to take a call on student potential, you need to assess the quality of student. The quality of student for us is a function of past ACADS, what are their backlogs, what their CGPAs,
mm-hmm.
What are the internships they have done, what course they get in which subjects, and so on and so forth. So that's a lot of weightage on these are these final granular weight. There's weightage on work experience, if any,
mm-hmm.
right? If they have a relevant experience, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, what it gives. Because we have realized over the period of time into this and underwriting thousands and thousands of loans that a great CGPA fresher will mm-hmm. get probably 30% less salary when they get out, go out of their course. Then a same profile, but 2 years experience, let's say in Infosys or somewhere, they will get much better salary. So those are very, very final nuances. Third, entrance test scores. So, and we have gone multiple layer down. We started with saying that, okay, GRE 328 out of 330 or whatever, 340 if you are 320 plus, invariably it qualifies you for a very good college, mm-hmm. and because of very good college, good course, and because of good course, you will get a good job, and so on.
Right.
From there, we went down and backtracked and mapped it back to saying, quants and verbal, what is the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And it could actually impact and split the risk for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, most Indian students will be very good in quant, but verbal will be, some of the students coming from tier 2, tier 3 towns will be very challenged in verbal, right? Which means what? Even if they're doing great in CGPA in the course, there also, when they sit in front of the interviewer, they may not be able to pull it through, or they'll not get the mm-hmm. right. Because soft skills become an issue. So those kind of nuances you put in. Then after that, ranking of course and college they are going to.
Mm.
So that actually decides. And then after that, layering it up with within that course, what kind of companies are coming to those colleges, what are the jobs they're getting, what are the average and median salaries, what is the forward track record of 10 years of their career for the past people or alumni and all that. Those are the things which constitute in a very granular fashion for the quality of student.
And
these data points will essentially sort of help you price the product, right? All these parameters are sort of like competitive exam performance, you can get their scores, or academic performance, you can get the university grades, etc. Is there some proprietary assessment tool that you in-house run at a psychometric test? And I ask this because you did talk about a mismatch between quant and verbal, right? I mean, how do you judge that? I mean, it is probably required for you to sit down with the potential borrower and interview. So do you have a team to do that level of assessment as well?
Yeah. So all larger ticket above a certain amount, we get into personal discussions.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And there also we have straight through green channel products where you don't have to get in person. For example, a great guy, you know, past ACADS, came from, let's say, Stevens in Delhi. No problem going to some great Ivy League. No problem. So those kind of
we'll
get into personal discussions. We have because we are less people dependent. So we have very specialized credit managers who will do then personal interviews, and they have a very templated and there's personal interviews are also scored on every answer. So those kind of things happen. For India also, we are now, for last 2 years, we've been building it for Indian colleges and Indian courses, because that's where my major focus area is. According to me, that's the next big opportunity here in the middle segment. It's the next $1 billion opportunity. So that's what we will. And also the enablement and large impact for country and for societies and all that. So that's what we
will. And just one more thing is when you look at a student profile, right? I mean, tuition expenses is just one piece of it, especially for someone who's going overseas. There is probably an equal amount of living expenses, if not equal, a significant chunk of it. Is that also part of the underwriting product?
Yeah. In fact, we realized early, about 10, 12 years back when we were doing these loans for students going abroad, that it's counterintuitive actually. If you have identified the quality of students as, let's say, AAA, if you are putting pressure on them for, let's say, X amount of margin money, then they may go out and borrow much higher cost debt.
Mm-hmm.
You give them, let's say, 70% of loan because you think, no, they don't, their parents' salary don't support and all that. So you're confusing, right? So it's counterintuitive than any other asset class. So in fact, you should go and overdo it. So that's what he started doing. So instead you cover him up so that he doesn't have to go and over leverage himself with a higher cost debt, which will not only get suck him into a spiral, but you also, your portfolio gets at a risk, right? So that's what we started doing. We said 100%. We were the first ones to do 100% of tuition and living expenses, even if we were confident that the student is a rock star.
Right.
So that's the thing.
But this is still sort of covered by some kind of LTV framework that you have inbound, right? In terms of the security that's being offered. Like that buffer will come at the expense of something, right? Like
large number of these loans are now
unsecured. Okay.
Large number and pretty large tickets also. Meaning now market is at about up to 75 lakh rupees of unsecured loans.
Interesting.
It's pretty large actually. One. When you're not asking for collateral, there's no more, and you are offering 100% of whatever your expenses are, then practically you are taking a big call on your assessment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that seems to have played out if you see the numbers of NPA 0.1%, 0.2% and not beyond
that.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering, like, a large part of your borrower base, I mean, they are going to be like new to credit, right? So things like CIBIL score, PAN, etc., they're irrelevant for you at the end of the day. They won't be
it does make sense. Look, it used to be. And the earlier part, last now 15 years of this private industry, only PSU banks were doing it. So, interestingly, the small ticket players of PL, actually, if I can use this word, young borrowers who are not financially as literate as they should have been or should be, actually borrowed, or they were given this digital credit lines or 30,000 rupees. Actually, that's it. They've contaminated their bureaus. I was kind of shocked when we started to increase, and then increasingly over the last 2 years, in the same segment, that earlier we would get, like you are rightly saying, about 95 to 98% of the customers are new to credit.
No, you get guys who are very young and have credit.
Now you get about 50% plus of the customers with bureau scores, and large part of them are bad.
Bad scores,
And stupid loans, and they're not bad borrowers.
Borrow for expenses, right? Probably, and
financial illiteracy, right? They're 1,000 rupees pending for a long time.
But does that often look at like a false negative for you? Like you have someone who has a bad score, but they end up being a customer you would like to.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, a lot of them. But a lot of them are also good indicators.
Yeah, they are
of credit. But some of them are also very good customers. They just don't know that this is happening to them. So that's what is happening.
For the other set of data, you know, when you said psychometrics, you said personal interactions, and not just like I'm not talking of the data you can actually verify from the institution in the terms of where you have gotten your admission, or I mean those things are verifiable, right? But and I'm guessing that you might be a lot of those institutions where these people end up going to, or they are coming from, they might be part of your partner network in any case, right? So you must be having integrations with them. But there's obviously a lot of data on which there's potential of fraud. Do you see that? And
very interestingly, I also kind of thought initially in 2007, 10, 9, 11, 12, that because coming from...
Because I'm thinking like internships, letters, those things in India are pretty... Yeah, no, if someone wants to go down the...
I was positively surprised in initial part, and that seems to have been the case so far at least.
Mm-hmm.
That unlike other asset classes like And especially secured and unsecured both. If it's a collateralized education loan, then that's secured asset class.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of loan against property. But yeah. if it is unsecured, then it is kind of PL and credit card and all, right? Right. Both asset classes, there's good. The risk manager or a CRO will be worried about fraud as a element, right?
Yeah.
Like you were saying. I was too, because I came with that kind of legacy that, oh, kisi ne document galat de diya or admission galat. Look, the checks and balances, I don't know whether it is by design that we were so cautious. We were entering into a 10% segment. So we were over cautious and taking 200 documents. Reason that we didn't see frauds, or is it naturally inherently education as a sector or not as prevalent?
Right.
I am still yet to raise out. I'm yet to decide, but largely the combination of both. I think the checks and balances are too many for them to do fraud. Meaning enrollment has to happen. If you have, let's say, decided that you will disburse the loan to the institute, then it defeats the purpose, so on and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things make it a much lesser fraud prone than any other asset class.
Right. Right. But, and on the unsecured segment, on that point only, like on the unsecured segment, from a collection standpoint, how do things stand effectively? I mean, the point that you said about foreign lenders, that also applies to you, right? I mean, from a recourse standpoint, how do you see that pan out? Like, are there instances of people, like, because say they've gotten a job there, they're settled, and, you know, they kind of just let it run in the rain?
No, if you go by the data of the existing private players, I think it is phenomenal. But phenomenal is the word. Outstanding data, right? On a $2 billion, if 0.1% or 0.2% NPA in a segment or 10% NPA speaks for itself. So it says all the story which is there within, right? Which is that nobody seems to be, practically nobody is defaulting. Right?
Yeah.
If on a $2 billion, that's a proper scale. It's not about... We are talking about $100 million portfolio. That $2 billion of portfolio.
Mm.
And you add a few competitors there, it's more than $2 billion of outstanding portfolio now.
Mm.
And pretty seasoned few business cycles. It doesn't seem to be getting anywhere near.
But no, NPA is like a very, very significant event, right? I mean, like if you look at things like collection efficiencies, you know, where there are like a bit of movements around due dates, and you know, you have to actually do like from soft to hard collections. Do you see that happening, or generally people are
usually na Nikhil thoda sa straightforward mere matlab it's in my, and I may be wrong, but flows have a trajectory. Meaning that's how ECL rule came into play, right? Which is what that if you are 0 to 30 is this percentage, you can more or less predict what is NPA. So if NPA, same can be applied backwards, right? If NPAs are 0.1-0.2%, this cannot be very high.
Leading indicator, so,
Meaning, the bounce ratios, for example, our bounce right now are 2-3%. I mean, developed player or a matured player will be about 8-9% bounce. As against... any other asset class, which is anything between 15 to 30, 35% in similar kind of product ticket sizes.
But do you de-risk by like bringing the parent as a guarantor, even though you're not taking any collateral? All those things so that you at least have some local reference point, right?
100%. 100%. For larger loans, 100%.
Yeah.
Some of the loans we have started now testing where co-borrowers, we are saying, will not be required, which is very, very high quality students and those in single, very few percentage. And those will develop and the data will come out and then we'll start putting it in the model and all that. But yes, the co-borrowers are there more not to support financially, but for contactability reasons.
Yeah.
And also invariably parent hota hai to phone kar diya to bachcha udhar thoda pareshan ho hi jata.
Exactly.
Do you I was curious. Do you think about sort of any securitization of your loan book in any way? Like, how do you think about that?
I matlab market ka bata deta hu. I think Avaaz did a few few portfolios successfully to banks because it's a priority sector for a large portfolio. So there is hunger there of this paper. But abhi to, I think market is getting to a critical mass now. So ab aega, now the secondary market will develop now according to me. But there are transactions which have happened successfully. Once ne kuch kiya tha, a couple of transactions. I think if I'm not wrong, I think Credla has also done one or two transactions. But securitization, the hunger is there because it's a priority sector loan. And it's a, if high quality book hai, toh fir toh, matlab kya chahiye? You getting a customer which is very young and if the portfolio is performing, you can't ask for a better portfolio, right? So it's hunger, but aapko bechna ki nahi, it depends on, as NB, if you are bank, then you don't need to send because it's priority sector. If you are NBFC, for capital reason, if you are capitalized properly, then you don't need to sell because size matters. If you need to churn because of capital reasons, then you will sell. So,
yeah,
yeah.
That's what I was saying. What's your typical tenure of a loan product?
So, depending on the tenure and the size, depends from the smallest loan, which we do a few thousand, 30,000, 40,000, 1 lakh loan to about a crore loan. Depending on that, we are from anything between 12 months to 15 years.
And are there, for people who are sort of going, studying for 2 years, 3 years, is there a moratorium at all? Or?
So we, mostly this is what we had set, and that's become kind of a trend and a norm in the market. We don't give none of them, none of the private players, I think, gives a complete moratorium, principal plus interest. They offer principal moratorium and charge simple interest during the course. We had done it for more than the cash flow reason. We had done it for tracking purposes. So that helped because then you are always kind of knowing that if somebody missed, then you know where the customer is, what is happening to. Otherwise, complete moratorium, actually one of the reasons of, according to me, my study and experience and understanding initial years when I was doing research, one of the large, the intent was not the reason of the 10% delinquency in this industry. I think operational reasons and the wrong product structurings and lack of collection efficiency and the model and so on and so forth were more of reasons in this delinquency. So,
and is there a sort of internal XIRR, IRR hurdle rate that you sort of keep at the back of your mind, if not even solving for it? But is there sort of a benchmark rate that you expect from every loan product? If not, the rate of return, I'll price it in such a way. So, I mean, if you can share that number or
I will share the concept, which is a very standard concept. I do as a philosophy. We will not do unprofitable loans just to get a customer. That's a philosophy. And profits will only come from ROAs. ROAs will happen if your NPAs are low, your OPEX is low, your pricing is right. So conceptually that. So as a new NBFC, whenever we get the licenses in process, the cost of funds are more or less, aapko pata hi rehta hai. Matlab, your cost of fund will range from 9-10% to 11-12% initial stages. You must get at least 4% ROA to 5% ROA to be able to give ROEs to lenders. So that's the benchmark we follow, the rule of thumb. Ke boss, and market itna bada hai na, ki under penetration hai. So you don't, if you're not intellectually lazy, if you're not doing lazy lending, I think there's enough for everybody. You just need to do a little more intellectual rigor and put the right products in place and put the right tech just to bring the OPEX down. Four pillars, right? CAC kya hai aapka, OPEX kya hai aapka, NPA kya hai, cost of fund kya hai. Cost of fund is anyways beyond your control right now. So, teen cheezon mein se aap at least get 2.5 right. The philosophy. So, you can't get 2.5 right. Bajaj gets 3.5 right out of four right. And that's why they traded whatever they traded. That's the philosophy actually.
Right. You mentioned that there are some, we saw that there are some lending partners, right? You have on your website as well. So the model here is that you kind of co-lend with them, or the model here is that you also do pure lead gen, and they kind of, you know, you can't, and what's been the focus now and what will be the focus in the future? Like the idea is to kind of, you know, expand your AUM over time and become a segment leader.
A great question, and thank you for asking that, because I want to want people to know that what we are and what is the business model, right? I started as a product company, though I had in my financial model and my projections over the period of time that we will do platform business also. Yeah. Because I knew this business, the penetration is very low. We will continue, once you become a little more known as a brand, you will continue to get a lot of organic demand if you are worth your salt and you are delivering the right experience to the customer and the right product. So, aapke aati rahegi demand. There are only two ways. If you are only a product company, either and whatever product you want to and your risk appetite, aap wo le loge aur baki bana kar doge. Instead of that I wanted to monetize that data and also true to my vision of helping Indian middle class students. When they first port of call jabhi hoga, jab usko aisa lagega ki yaar main 5 bank mein jaane ki jagah ek bank ek ko main chale jaun to mujhe kuch mil jayega, ya to unka product milega ya to. So that is why we are a product plus platform company. We do our own product for the risks and the cost structures and so on and so forth, like you were talking about. If it is a viable product, it's a good product for the customers. A lot of customers who are great students, average ko borrower, no collateral, will not get a loan with, they should get a loan from a good banker because aapke paas collateral nahi hai, ya aapke family business ka papers nahi hai and all that. But student is, let's say, a rock star, amazing meritocratic student. So wo great customer hai hamare liye, and we should find a way to serve that customer. Nobody else will serve. So there are going to be customers who will be good customer, good students, good co-borrower, good collateral, and they deserve a better rate in the market. Right. They're not very happy with the processes.
Yeah.
So I can solve the process problem for them.
Yeah.
And help them get that product. So that's the idea. So we are right now originating. Look, we do everything. We originate, we underwrite. That's our strength. Our operations is our strength because of tech and the kind of platforms and applications we build. Collections, because of our domain and 15 years experience, we know exactly when to call a customer, when to send a message, and so on and so forth. There are early warning signal models there and so on. So that's what also we do. We do cross-sell upsell because our philosophy is helping a student from campus to corporate and beyond. So there is an upsell opportunity, there is a cross-sell opportunity. A student will need, even after passing out, will need a personal loan, will need a credit card, will need a wealth management, will need 5 years later a home loan, will need a vehicle loan. And if you have built a very strong relationship at the start, because this is one asset class which allows you to acquire a customer much early in life. So you get a runway of 35 years rather than when somebody is giving home loans, they'll get a runway of 20 years because 35, 38 ka average borrowing age hota hai. But average borrowing age is, depending on segment you are addressing, but 20, 22, 24
year
old. So you can actually be a partner, and lifetime value is a real proposition for us.
Right.
So this is what we do. So we are operating in all, and we offer to our partners that this is what we can do. You pick and choose what you want us to do. We can do, for example, we are probably the only people, arguably the only people who can give eligibility in 2 minutes for any, because of a decision engine which runs at the back, right? Which normally takes, fundamentally, two questions hote hain sabko, koi bhi borrower ko. Mujhe loan milega ki nahi milega, aur kitna milega agar milega. Ye दो क्वेश्चन आंसर करने के लिए उनको कम से कम कुछ दिन से कुछ हफ्ते लगते हैं. सारा डॉक्यूमेंट दो, फिर ये करो, फिर बाद में जाके पता चलता रहे तो नहीं हुआ, फिर दूसरों के पास. सो दोज आर द थिंग्स वी काइंड ऑफ सॉल्व्ड फॉर,
राइट? लास्ट क्वेश्चन प्रशांत, इन टर्म्स ऑफ फ्रॉम अ कैपिटल स्टैंडपॉइंट, लाइक आई मीन ऑब्वियसली लाइक यू आर अ क्लासिक लेंडर, सो एज यू ग्रो, आई मीन यू विल बी डिपेंडिंग मोर एंड मोर ऑन सीनियर होलसेल फाइनेंसिंग. to expand your loan exposure. And equity will have a certain role, but effectively credit is something that you'll be seeking either through your partner lenders or on your own balance sheet, right? But as you go deeper into the risk spectrum, right, as of now, you're looking at mostly, I mean, you yourself mentioned that in your current exposure also, a significant part is the overseas student bucket, which is a category which has existed for some time. Obviously, you're going into it deeper and deeper and deeper, but domestic is also something that you want to kind of, you know, step on and increase. How do you see, you know, like the capital supply or the appetite of larger institutions to take that exposure? And as of now, and how do you see that change?
Thankfully, fortunately, equity side has been very encouraging.
Yeah.
There are, maybe because the way we have built, maybe because of a little bit of credibility over the track record and so on and so forth, this is the third similar kind of startup that I'm doing. So,
right.
So equity side, I think, shouldn't be. And also, most importantly, the partner Westbridge is a long-term partner. One of the reasons that we partner is that culturally we are aligned. They're patient investors, and this asset class needs a patient investor and patient capital. So long-term, they are very big and as passionate about education as a space as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons I went and other offers, but we went together is because there are like minds and cultural fit and big on education. The bet is on education in the country. So I don't see that as a major issue. They are also deep pockets, and they see us as a long-term player. Second, on the debt size, I think it will, because we are doing all three segments, I think we will have optionality of raising pure term loans and so on and so forth. And for that, we will go to banks and other NBFCs and so on and so forth. And for smaller loans, the other instruments at whatever relevant time will start becoming a reality for us. And I think we'll be able to do it. So that's kind of where we are at, very 30,000 feet above. I think we will solve it. We've done, thankfully, I got very lucky. The leadership, I don't know whether you got a chance to see the profile of the leadership team. It's proper talent density. I'm very proud, actually, of the people that have joined Kuhu. And at leadership level, even at low level, the talent density is proper. And I, at the cost of sounding immodest, I think the talent density may be much higher than a lot of other competitors. Whether it is the profile, experience, segment, all of those things, right? So wo hai, I have the chief operating officer who was our CRO in Credla for 10 years. So he's practically underwritten $2 billion of student loans at 0.1% of NPA, right? So he is the risk and I have a data science and product head who's passed out of Oxford, his 16 years experience, 10 years in risk modeling and all that. So he's the data science and product guy. The CTO is 18 years experience, IIT Bombay guy, ran his own startup, built desk for 10, 11 years, 5 years of head of technology for Reliance Jio Money. Our CFO is a great guy, ranked at CA, ISB, KPMG, PwC, 9, 10 years of banking, treasury function here. So we've got a fairly good mix of people. I think raising money, if we do keep our head down.
And I guess, as the operational efficiency comes out, lower losses, that also becomes an attractive category on its own, right? For the for lenders, one way or the other.
So hoping for that to happen.
Right.
This core team that you have assembled, if we put that through the Kuhu system for eligibility for a loan product,
Because whether you call pedigree or you call experience, you call track record, all tech check. I spent the first, honestly, 2 years, dikhta hai, but some of the few things which I think, again, at the cost of sounding, don't get me wrong, I think differently, what I did differently was, first 3 months, I only wrote a culture document of the company without talking to anybody, without deciding the name, business model, financial model. So then I started sending people. I personally handpicked, not even a single hire has come from senior level, has come from a headhunter.
Right.
I personally, for 6 months, I was doing this Excel sheet all alone. And then, so 39 people for one CTO. Data science, I think, are some 35 people. That's all, those kind of. Right. So spend a lot.
No, Prashant, it was very fascinating speaking with you. And I think this is a very, very exciting and large category. And we wish you all the best and much larger and better and more significant milestones in the future. And we'd be watching you grow and succeed from the sidelines. And thank you so much for your time. This is Nikhil Arora with me. It's Sharad Tupran signing off.